Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Today I want us to, for the next few moments, we're going to look in the Word of God, and we're going to do that together. Trust the Lord to speak to our hearts. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to use probably a weird book this morning, but the Old Testament book of Jonah. And Jonah is an interesting guy. But I'm just going to read a few verses from Jonah chapter 1, firstly, and then we'll read a little bit from chapter 3. But Jonah 1, 1 to 3 says, if you're still getting there, I'll wait a little more. But Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Father, thank you for your word this morning, and thank you for every person who is listening, not just to my voice, God, but to you as you speak to us today. Bless your word to our hearts, and God, may we respond appropriately to whatever you say to us today.
Yes.
We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jonah is numbered among, or named among, the books that are called the prophetic books of the Old Testament. But what I find interesting about Jonah is the fact that there is just one thing that's prophetic about this book in chapter 3 and verse 4, when God says to him, "Go and tell these people in Nineveh that in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown." That's it. So there isn't a whole list of prophecies. Just one thing God asks this man to do. Go to Nineveh and tell these people that in 40 days, their city is going to be overthrown. When we read through chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see Jonah didn't do that. And so today, I'm going to be speaking on the subject, "Precious in His Sight." I'm jumping ahead there. All right, there we go. "Precious in His Sight." It's all about obedience. You see, the people of Nineveh were precious in God's sight, even though God said that their wickedness had come before him. God is so gracious that even when the sinfulness of man comes before him, he looks beyond our sin and sees a soul. And every single soul is precious in God's sight.
Amen.
I'm glad for that, because I would have been ruled out. I don't know about you, but every soul is precious in his sight. And Jonah somehow missed that. Jonah missed the fact that God wanted to use him to go to these people and deliver a simple message that was going to make them not people who are qualified for the judgment of God, but rather qualified to receive the love and mercy and grace and forgiveness of God.
Amen.
So today I want us to focus a little bit on how we can learn from Jonah's story and not be guilty of behaving like Jonah. First thing I believe we need to do is be careful to listen for God's command to give and or to go. And I said and or because not all of us will go. Not all of us will go somewhere to be a missionary outside of our home space. But all of us can give.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
All of us can give. Did grandma come today? She didn't? Okay. I said to grandma last night, when I pastored, I used to say to the congregation, please, don't ever tell pastor you didn't come to church because you didn't have an offering to give when the offering plate comes around. Don't ever tell me that as a pastor. That's the reason why you didn't come to church. Because yes, why we need money to do different things. Hello?
Yep.
You know, when the light bill has to be paid, you can't tell who, Con Edison or whoever, Jesus paid it all. You got to come up with money, right? So while money is needed, God wants us more than our money.
That's right.
Amen.
God wants us, and we have to be seeing ourselves in a place where we are listening for God's command to give and to go. And this command could be personal or it could be corporate. Jonah received a very personal command. He received a command that specified, you must go to Nineveh. He received a command that was very, very specific. It said, tell the people their wickedness has come before God. And he received a message that said that God was going to judge them in 40 days. No, hearing is not listening.
That's right.
And I think those of you who have been parents understand that.
Yes.
You say something to a child, they hear you, but they're not necessarily listening to what you're saying. They're hearing because they're not deaf. But listening says that I have heard you, I understand what you have said, and I will now act on it. So yes, we need to listen for God's command, but the next thing we need to do is be careful to obey God's command. What does Jonah do? Jonah decides that he's going to go in a direction opposite to where God is sending him. Now, I don't know how well you can see this here. But let me try something here. This has a pointer, right?
Yeah.
Good. Jonah was just about here. This is Nineveh here. See the distance?
Yeah.
Jonah decided he's gonna go here. God is sending Jonah right down the road. It was a far distance. It was about 2,000 miles. That's like driving from, I don't know, wherever to wherever. But it was, for us, it was a cool bit of driving distance. He decided he's going to take a boat and sail all the way over here. It's amazing how disobedience gets us so far away from the will of God. But I thought about this. Why would Jonah not want to take a message like this to these people? It's for their own good. It's to warn them that God is going to judge you. Why wouldn't you want to tell these people this news? Well, the first thing we could say is fear. If I tell these people this, they might kill me for bringing such a message. So, well, okay, Brother Jonah, you're fearful, but that doesn't seem like a good reason. What else could it be? Oh, I don't think they deserve God's forgiveness or a warning of God's judgment. I don't think they deserve that. They're too wicked. Let God kill them. But whatever reason we could come up with in our mind, the point is, Jonah disobeyed God. And disobedience always has consequences that we won't enjoy. Obedience has consequences and rewards that we can't even try to imagine. But disobedience has consequences that we won't enjoy. And when we read Brother Jonah's story, we see that he ended up in the belly of a whale because of his disobedience. For sure, if Jonah was going here, whales don't live on land. So he didn't have to worry about a whale swallowing him. Hello? There might have been other challenges, but definitely not a whale. But here he is, disobeying God and heading to this place that he doesn't need to be heading to, and ends up in a situation that is not nice. The belly of a whale cannot be a nice place. Cannot. But even in his disobedience, the grace of God was extended to him, and God caused the fish to vomit him up on land. So he gets a second chance to do what he failed to do on the first go. Isn't God good?
Amen.
I'm glad he's gracious, because I've messed up a few times. Hello? I've messed up a few times. I don't know about you, but I've messed up a few times. And God is the God of second chances. He gives us the opportunity so many times. Now, he doesn't always strive with man, but so many times God gives the opportunity for us to fix what we failed to fix the first time. So we must be careful to listen. We must be careful to obey But we also must be careful to faithfully offer God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness, which is what faith promises and so many other things that we are and do as a church allows us to do. Offer God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Jonah was firstly the recipient of this grace and mercy because he was saved from drowning. His life was preserved in the belly of the whale, and God allowed him to end up on land again so that he could take the message. The people of Nineveh, when he did go in chapter 3, they heard God's prophetic word. They had the opportunity to repent, and they did. And their repentance resulted in God's judgment being removed from over them. And Jonah's experience serves us well when we can look and see that in the first place, if he had obeyed God, he would have saved himself all that agony of paying a ship to take him somewhere that he wasn't supposed to be going. He would have saved money there. Hello? He would have saved himself the agony of having to be out at sea in a storm and then being thrown into the water. He would have saved himself all of that. And the people of Nineveh would have heard the message of God earlier rather than later. Think about how our actions or our failure to obey God's command could affect the outcome of someone coming into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we fail to obey God the first time. You know what part of the challenge is? Like Jonah, we don't have the insight that God has. We don't have the ability to understand why God is saying do this until he allows us somewhere down the road to get a glimpse of why he was saying so. God knew things that Jonah didn't know, and Jonah just had to trust God and obey him. So when God challenges us to give to missions, it's not about the amount of money. Like Pastor pointed out, every one of us will hear from God differently. And whether it's $1, $10, $100, or $1,000, the amount is not the big deal. The big deal is whatever I heard, did I obey and give it? God, to obey is better than sacrifice. If God says give a dollar, I give it in obedience, even though I don't understand all about why he's saying give a dollar. And like Jonah, who got it right the second time, we have to see ourselves making ourselves and our resources available to God that he can use us and use our resources to reach people like those in Nineveh. Amen. That's right. Who are dying in sin. And Nineveh doesn't have to be overseas, huh?
That's right.
Nineveh could be the next town down the road.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Or the next city from here. So here's what obedience looks like for some people. This is Caribbean Nazarene College in Trinidad. Myself and family served there for about 12 years. When we moved to the United States 2 years ago, we moved from Trinidad. And I was serving at the college. I started there by doing enrollment, and then I moved into teaching. And after serving there, we moved here. And it's in this place that what I'm going to share with you now, a number of things happen. Caribbean Nazarene College, founded in 1951, if I remember correctly. The Church of the Nazarene. This is one of our Nazarene schools of higher education outside of the United States. And I have a few pictures of... It's not moving, but if you can help me back there, it's... I don't know why it's not moving. It's probably got stuck.
There you go.
All right, it's moving now. All right, so this is Dr. Frank Orton. The school recently in May conferred on him an honorary doctorate. And this is his wife, Karen, in the next picture, the next, right, that's Karen. These are my parents. You see the resemblance? But I met these people at CNC back in 2003. I had gone back to school to complete my bachelor's degree, and they had come from the Burlington First Church of the Nazarene in Iowa as a part of a work and witness team. The team was comprised of members from another church, the Keokuk Church of the Nazarene. But these two people here, amazing people, who in obedience to God have committed their lives and their resources, and their children and grandchildren are now following in their footsteps. But these two people, Frank has served at that church as NMI president for 35 years. He served as NMI president. And it's under his leadership that I was invited to do my first faith promise. The very first faith promise I did was at this Burlington church and at the Keokuk church. But their obedience to God has taken them to numerous countries. Kenya, Mexico, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Haiti, Barbados, and Trinidad, where I met them. And they have given of their financial resources as well. But their church, the Burlington First Church, does an interesting thing. They have a plot of land alongside the church. And they grow corn. The church grows corn. I've been there, seen it, helped to harvest the corn. And they sell the corn outside the church, and the money that is raised goes, every cent of it goes to missions. And this is apart from alabaster and all the other offerings that they take. This is just corn money.
Corn.
Sweet, the best sweet corn I've ever tasted. But this money goes, and since they have started this project, they have raised over $150,000
wow.
from selling corn. And CNC, Caribbean Nazarene College, has benefited from that numerous times. But there's another person who has gone to CNC. Next picture. Ah, there we've gone too far, right. Pastor Dario Richards. He's from Barbados. He came to CNC in 2009. Dario wasn't raised in church, and we're talking about precious in his sight, right?
Right.
Dario was not raised in church. Dario found the Lord Jesus when he was 16 years old through the Church of the Nazarene. And at 19 years old is when he came to CNC in 2009. He answered the call of God upon his life to prepare for ministry. And I met Dario for the first time on the campus. I'd never seen him before. I met him, we chatted. And then not too long after that, I got a call from the Ortons. And they said, Rudy, we want you to identify a student who is doing theology that we can support for 1 year. And right away, I felt the Lord saying in my spirit, Dario. So I went to the president, and the president at that time, Dr. Eversley, and the Ortons were very close friends. And I said, Doc, the Ortons called me. This is what they want me to do, and I think Dario is the guy. He said, call Dario to my office. So I went and said, Dario, the president wants you in his office. Dario started to tremble because the president wants me in his office. What's going on? I said, don't worry, it's not anything bad. He didn't do anything. And we told him what was going to happen. He's amazed. He was like, but these people don't even know me. But the Lord used them, hello, to bless him for his obedience to answer God's call. They didn't only support him for 1 year, they supported him for his entire time at CNC. Now, this picture was taken in February, March this year. I was there with them on a work and witness trip. This was their 12th time to Trinidad. And this was the first time they met Dario. He had already graduated, was pastoring in his home country, and they had him come over to Trinidad to meet them. First time. Dario is not only an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene, but he is also now working with the Mesoamerica region as a global missions coordinator. Coordinating missionaries from that region, from the Caribbean field of the region, and doing missions across the Caribbean.
Amen.
Seeing the difference between Jonah, disobedience, and obedience.
Yes.
Hello? The next picture, it's Dario and his wife, Linda. Oops. All right, here we go. Linda is from my home country, Guyana. I know Linda from her father has served on the general board of the Church of the Nazarene. One of her uncles is married to one of my sisters, and he's a pastor as well in the Church of the Nazarene. Linda came to CNC in 2008. Yes, 2008. After she withdrew from university, she was doing a BSc in dentistry. And she withdrew from that to answer God's call to the ministry. They told her she was crazy. You don't leave dentistry to go into ministry. But she had to obey God. She came to school, and God did all kinds of miracles to get her through school. And part of that was the Ortons. Just part of it. But then she and Dario started dating, and after graduation they got married. They're expecting their first child sometime next year. But she also serves like you do, as co-pastors of their church and as global mission coordinator. Two excellent preachers. You would want to hear them preach. Excellent preachers. But it all is about obedience.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Dario could have refused to answer the call of God. The Ortons could have refused to listen to God that said, support somebody. And he wasn't the only student they have supported. They have supported many others. Linda could have said, no, I will stay with dentistry. But because of obedience to the voice and command of God, their obedience has multiplied over and over in so many lives that we would never understand the impact on this side of eternity.
That's right.
And so I challenge us today. I challenge us. What can obedience look like for us? What can it look like for us? God wants us to be co-laborers with Him. And you may never go on a work and witness trip, either locally or overseas. You may never go. But you can give. Every child can give.
That's right.
Hello? Every child can... A quarter! There's plenty money in God's hand, you know? Right, Pastor? The little boy's lunch? A quarter is a lot of money in God's hand. All God wants us to do is obey Him. So we close with this. Let us commit today to be more careful to listen for God's command, to obey God's command, and to offer God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness to those He's commanded us to reach.
Amen.
One of the things I love about the Great Commission is that God doesn't tell us to save anybody. He says, as you go into the world, proclaim the good news. He does the saving.
That's right.
And you know what? They may not get saved when you say something to them. But God has already orchestrated where they're going to go down the road, and a next believer is going to speak into their life. But you had already planted a seed.
Amen.
And sometimes we will be at the beginning of the process. Sometimes we will be in the middle of the process. Sometimes we will be at the end of the process when we see the person actually get saved. But wherever we are in the process, God just wants us to be obedient.
Right.
It wasn't easy for me to be obedient to answer the call. I ran for a long time. And then I said, yes, Lord, I give up. Because my issue was, why me? They have other guys smarter than me, more talented than me. And God was like, no, that's, I want you. So I know what it is to be disobedient. But obedience has made the world of difference. I'm standing before you today. Born in South America, I'm standing in Maplewood speaking to you about God's ability to work in and through you. Who would ever thought that a day like this would come? But God knew.
Yes.
And that's the challenge today. Listen, obey, offer. Simple. What are we going to do?
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.